Maybe I must start like Peter Allen and just also say that my name is Werner Ewald and I will preach. I won't give the notices, I'll have to preach. And our pastor is, he puts us into these positions, you know, he sends us to Bible school and then he says, now you have to produce, you have to come and preach. And, you know, one gets a bit nervous when you stand in front of people and you have to preach. You know. But, you know, I'm going to talk just shortly about a word this morning that appears a lot of times in the Word of God. And without it, you cannot receive salvation. You know, without it, you can't please God. And without it, you can't pray for healing or receive healing. And without it, actually, you can't live the Christian life. It's the word faith, you know. And about 2 weeks ago, I was just always thinking about, you know, the things that we have to do, and I was looking for the works that we have to do, and I was looking in the Bible, you know, at various passages, and the one was in James 2, and there was this issue of faith and works and that, and I got into that, and then I said, let me just look at faith, and I just realized how faith is so central, you know, to our, I almost have to say faith, but it's so central to our relationship with God. You know, and I really can't, you know, I feel like I can't really explain this morning, you know, give almost credit to the word faith. But that's why we have got Bible school. And you can go there and dig a little bit more. I will just look at a few scriptures on how important faith is to our relationship with an eternal, invisible God. You know, before I look at the definition of faith, I first want to actually look at what faith isn't. You know, often it's a good idea just to look at what something isn't before you look what it is. You know, I saw Peter Allen said, you know, engineers and businessmen and so on. I thought, oh, engineers are not businessmen, you know. I'm an engineer, you know, and we always like to, when there's a problem, you immediately want to find out what is it, dig in, and that must be the problem. And very often, I've actually learned over time that you must first look at what is not the problem. You know, it's just to cut out a few things. And I listed just a few things here that I thought of, that faith is not positive thinking. Faith is not just hoping for the best. And faith is not acting like something is so when it isn't really so. And if we do that long enough, then it will become so. And faith is not a religion. Okay, if people say to you, what is your faith? Well, the faith we're going to talk about here this morning is not that. And faith is also not the belief that God will do what you want. You know? And faith is not a feeling of just optimism. They say somebody is optimistic that he's got faith, or a blind leap. It's also not faith. And lastly, I listed faith is not a spectator sport. It's not something where you can just sit on the side and look. Well, what is faith then? You know, and I think we need to, although it's such a word that we read all over in the scriptures, we often, you know, I think we need to sit back and say, what is it? It's the same way as we have to maybe sit back and say, who are we in Christ? We'll have to, and then you start digging in the word, and then you start meditating on it. And I think that is where you start meditating on it day and night, because you really grapple with it. And so, you know, we can go to the dictionary and look at what the word faith means, and you will find something like it's a complete confidence and trust in someone, or a strong belief in a religion. But That is not the faith we want to look at this morning. And as I said, you know, I will try and look at these scriptures here, but I am totally aware that it actually, that the Holy Spirit needs to enlighten us. He needs to do a work within us if we really want to understand and live faith. But there is a definition in the Word of God on faith, and it starts off by saying, now faith is, it's really a definition, like when you look in a dictionary, faith, and you can say, oh, it's that, and it's exactly the Word of God. It's in Hebrews 11 verse 1, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Okay, now explain that. You know, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And I actually thought, okay, now let me just explain it. The substance of things hoped for. And it's actually not that easy to explain. But what I see, I want to split it up in two. The first part being the substance of things hoped for, and the second part being the evidence of things not seen. Now, the substance of things hoped for, I see there's a link between faith and hope. And if I can maybe point that out first. But I think the substance of things hoped for is, that substance is the absolute persuasion and the expectation or the confidence that God will perform all He has promised to us in Christ. So the substance of things hoped for, the hope that we have in Christ, it's actually that substance, that confidence, absolute persuasion and expectation that God will do it. Now, it gives, you know, now you say, oh, does it really mean that? The substance, now I'm not saying that that's the only thing that you can say about this first part. But I think it gives substance of things that you hope for. And it's only when you have complete confidence in God that He will do everything He has promised that you can say it becomes substance for what I hope for. But the second part of that verse is the evidence of things not seen. And I think there, I really think that is where faith, where I thought, yo, that is like opening it up to me. You know, that there is an awareness that there's something else. You know, it's a crucial awareness that the evidence of things not seen, that there is a invisible spirit kingdom, if I can call it that. That which is seen is not the whole explanation of life. There is something more than the realities that we see. Now, you can't touch it, you can't, you know, measure it or feel it. But in fact, I think it is more real because, you know, than the things we see, because it actually explains the things that we see. It's the evidence of the things not seen. Like, it's, you know, when we look around us and we say, you know, the things that we see around us is actually evidence of the things that are not seen. Okay, you might say, you know, that is difficult. If I can't see something, then it's not real to me. But it should actually be the easiest thing to believe that God exists. Okay. Every person, actually, when they come to this world, without exception, start believing that God exists. It's only actually, there's actually more required to say that God doesn't exist. It actually takes more effort to say that God doesn't exist. If we just look around us, you know, there's light streaming from all over, just to point, open our eyes to know that God is there. Now, you know, the little children, you know, you would think that the concept of God should be one of the most difficult things for small children to grasp, because they can't see God. But yet, little children, you know, they grasp that concept immediately. And that's why Jesus said, you know, we need to become like little children to enter the kingdom of God. It's only when we think we become clever, you know, that we start reasoning things out, and there's so much around us to show us the evidence of the things that we can't see. Now, even in our natural world, we have a lot of things that we can't see, but they are actually there. You know, even as we stand here, there are television signals here. We can't see them, but they are there. You know, if we put a television set here and we put an aerial here, you know, and tune the television set, we will see a picture. You know, or your cell phone. You know, you can go now look on the internet, you know. There are signals that we can't see. Now, if you say, just because I can't see it, I can't believe it, then, you know, that it probably doesn't mean that it doesn't exist. It would probably just mean that you aren't very smart, you know, because it is here. You can put your cell phone on now and you can see it. Now, it's not the cell phone that makes the picture. The signals are there. It only tunes into those. So, you know, as we accept those things in the natural, and the world seems to push us to something that if we can't immediately see it, then we can't believe it. Then it's not real. If we can't prove it scientifically, you know, scientifically, it's not real. And it also has infiltrated our church that we, you know, things like, you know, we need to see everything immediately. If we can't see it immediately, then it's not real. You know, if I don't feel well this morning, then God is not here. You know, and if I don't have something or somebody doesn't praise me, then I'm not successful. Now, I just want to look at that. You know, I think you need to go back to that definition of faith and look at it yourself. But it's, you know, that it's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, I just brushed over it, but I want to look at a few verses in the Bible that talk about faith and how it actually applies to our daily life. After that definition in Hebrews 11 verse 1, in verse 3, Hebrews 11 verse 3, it says, "By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out what was visible." Now that is, again, something that, you know, there's so much pressure on us to say everything that we see, the universe that we see, came out of something. The scripture says it's by faith that we understand that it came by the word of God. You know, it's a divine declaration with regard to creation. And it is only by faith that we can actually understand this universe. As much as mankind tries to reason out and demonstrate that the universe was made like this and there was a bang and you know, there's no history that we go back far enough that we can say, oh, there, you see, there we can see it. God's word tells us how he created. And if God's word tells us that, by faith, we believe that it is like that. You know, if we stand back and look at this universe, you know, it blows my mind just to think, where does it start? Where does it end? You know, I can't understand that. But by faith, I can understand that the universe was made at God's command. And we can see daily You know, we can observe it daily. I read a while ago a little thing that somebody wrote, and I just want to put it up there. It says, we can see the Creator in what we observe daily, and we can see Him in the science and the mathematics we have discovered. We can see the Creator in what we observe. Now, there's a lot of mathematicians and scientists that will go and they, you know, there's a little formula at the bottom here, a probability formula, that scientists will go and say there's a probability of this and that. And actually, those we can use these formulas to show that it is improbable that we can use science and mathematics to show that this world was created and the universe was created by God and not by chance. You know, so looking around us, we can, by faith, we can understand. We can understand what is all around us. Now, another verse, it just goes a few verses, three verses further in that chapter. Our relationship with an eternal God, I call it. And Hebrews 11 verse 6 says, and without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him, who diligently seek Him. It doesn't say it is hard to please God if you don't, you know, if you don't have faith. It doesn't say it's almost impossible. It says it is impossible. Okay, it's fairly straightforward. You know, just before that, actually the verse before it, it talks about Enoch who was always walking with God. And he was just taken, he didn't actually die a physical death. He just, by faith, went to be with God. And he was only one of two people that, you know, the other one is Elijah. But Enoch, you know, so I heard once a story, or actually read it, I didn't hear, I read it, you know, in a Sunday school, a child explaining how Enoch, you know, just disappeared, saying that Enoch walked with God every day. They walked a long distance and they talked to one another. Enoch was talking to God. And one day they really walked for a long distance, and then God said, look, Enoch, it's such a long way to go home. Why don't you come just home with me? And I think, you know, as we spend more time with God in faith, you know, we will see that we can please God. Just remember, this verse says it's impossible to please God without faith. And I think God takes pleasure. It actually says, you know, if you read it, you know, the other way around, is I would say God takes pleasure when we display faith. You know, and actually on Friday, you know, we were praying. It's a group, it was on a Friday morning, a few of us from businesses, we come together, and Dennis Levet was saying, you know, he believes God is saying to us, we must stop, you know, operating at this level, we must start operating at a higher level, we must step out in faith. And I think that it will be a pleasure to God, because it is possible to please God with faith. So we need to step out in faith. Then one more verse here on faith. And it's in Romans 1 verse 17. It says, for in the gospel the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. You know, this actually says, and that is, you know, when I first wanted to look at this topic of faith and works, this actually says, you know, that we have received the righteousness not by our own works, but we have received it by faith. that we are justified by faith. But what it also says is, you know, faith from first to last, and the righteous will live by faith. That it has started with faith, and faith will maintain us. So there's a faith in the beginning and during the progress of a Christian life. And if we want to live a victorious life, we must live by faith. Faith in Christ and nothing else. So I just wanted to show there that, you know, there are actually over 450 times the word faith is mentioned in the Bible. So you can be glad that I only looked at three at the moment. I won't go through all, I think it's 458 or something like that. But I want to just look at just a few verses when Jesus spoke about faith. And the first one is in Luke 7 verse 50, where Jesus says to a woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." You know, it was a time when Jesus was invited by a Pharisee to have dinner. And when he was sitting there, there was a lady that came in and she was crying, and she, you know, was actually wiping his feet with her hair and using her tears and then putting perfume on it. And the Pharisee thought, you know, if Jesus knew who this lady is, then he wouldn't allow her to. You know, she was a prostitute. And Jesus knew what he was thinking and said to him, you know, he took a small example and said, you know, if somebody owes you a small amount of money, let's say $10, and somebody owes you $1,000, and both can't pay you back, and you tell them your debt is, you don't have to pay back, which one would be, you know, have a greater appreciation for that? And the Pharisee said, well, the one that owed such a lot. And he said, yeah, that's right. And he says, when I came into your house, you know, you didn't wash my feet, but this lady has been there all the time. What Jesus then, you would think, okay, now what does Jesus say? But he says to the lady, your faith has saved you. Your faith has saved you. She was doing something there, and Jesus says, your faith has saved you. I'll just come back to that just a little bit in a moment. A little bit further in Luke, there's another verse. It says, Jesus said to a man there, receive your sight. Your faith has healed you. Okay, so there was this man next to the road, and he was blind, and he was, you know, heard something, and he asked, what's going on? And the people said to him, he's Jesus, and he was shouting, you know, Jesus, have mercy on me. And then Jesus stopped and went over to him and said, what do you want? And he said, well, I want to see. And Jesus says to him, receive your sight, your faith has healed you. And then in Luke 7, another verse where Jesus talks about faith, you know, where he was again called by some Jewish elders who had got a message from a centurion to come and heal his servant. And as he was on his way there, that some other servants came and said, no, don't come in. The centurion thinks he's not worth that you come into his house. And just say the command and the servant will be healed. And this was, Jesus turns and he says, he was amazed. You know, and he turned to the crowd and he says, I tell you, I have not found such great faith even in Israel. Now, you know, the word faith, and you have to think about what Jesus is saying. And just one more verse when Jesus was actually talking about faith in Matthew 17. He's talking to his disciples. You know, the disciples were asked by somebody to drive out a demon, and they couldn't. You know, and the man came to Jesus and said, you know, your disciples couldn't drive out the demon and heal my son. And Jesus drove the demon out and the son was healed. And then the disciples came to Jesus in private and asked him, why couldn't we drive it out? And he replied, because you have so little faith. Truly I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. Faith is central to our relationship, our walk with God. But now let me go to that passage that I actually wanted to look at initially when I was looking at works and faith. And that passage is a bit interesting in that it almost, at first looks to me as if it is contradicting some other verses in the Bible. And it's in James 2, verse 14 to 25. And I just want to read that and just listen to what James is saying here. He's saying in verse 14 it starts, "What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if somebody claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them?" And I think Peter Allen was actually in the first verse that he read, it's very similar. It says, "Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, keep warm and well fed,' but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, it is not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, 'You have faith and I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds.' You believe there is one God. Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. You foolish person, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our father Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, 'Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend.' You see, a person is considered righteous by what they do, not by faith alone. In the same way, was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction? As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead." Now, all over the scripture we read, we are justified by faith and not by works, because otherwise we would boast. And here we suddenly see, it says, what good is it if you have faith? And it actually says faith without deeds is useless. So, if this is God's word, and it won't contradict each other, or that there's no error in this. But even I was looking at this, and I was thinking about the verses which we went through just now on Jesus. That lady that Jesus said, "Your faith has saved you." Now, if the lady had sat outside the house and cried, would Jesus have said to the lady, "Your faith has saved you. She had to come inside. It probably took a lot of courage to come inside in front of these holy people and do what she did. But Jesus says, "Your faith has saved you." And it's the same way this gentleman that was sitting next to the road there, I think, he could have just sat there and said, I'll just continue sitting here. But he shouted out, he said, "Jesus, have mercy on me." And Jesus heard him. If he wouldn't have shouted, he wouldn't have stopped. And Jesus says, "Your faith has healed you." And I just see there already this connection between faith and action. And I will actually say active faith. There is no contradiction here when Paul says, that you are saved, justified by faith without the deeds. Okay? But when Paul speaks about you justified by faith, and James speaks about faith with deeds, they're speaking about the same faith. But they're not speaking about the same deeds, because I think Paul was talking to people that were saying, if I do that, and I do that, then I do that, then I'm justified. You know, and he was saying no. But James was talking to people that knew how you are justified by faith, but they were sitting there and just sitting and doing nothing. And he was saying, you know, firstly, you are justified. Paul was saying you are justified before God only by grace through faith. And I think James is saying, if you want to be justified before men, then men will say, I can see it. You have to do something. You know, you can't just sit there and do nothing. So I think they're talking about the same thing, yet it may look a little bit as if they're talking, you know, at odds to one another. I just put it in a way, you know, maybe the next slide there. You know, that it's grace, first of all, through faith. And then if you go on, that's how salvation. There's no other way. Okay, now, but if you go on, the next slide, faith and works are, if you just go on, you know, it's just the two sides of the same coin. So our faith, you know, is so crucial in our daily Christian walk. You know, that if we want to have victory in our walk with Christ, we must walk in faith. Okay, you must dig into God's word to really say, what does this mean? Go back to that definition. You know, it's faith is actually it is accompanied by action. Faith is an outward sign of our inward condition. You know, it's an outward sign of what happened inside. So, you know, one hears sometimes, you know, I live by faith. I don't have to do anything. I just sit at home. I don't have to, you know, go out and do anything. But I'm sure these young people that sit here, you can this year start your school and you say, you know, this year I'm just going to, by faith, I'm going to pass these exams. You know, and I think you will get a bit of a surprise. You have to study, okay? You have to do the work, okay? It's not, you know, just, and I think that is maybe some of the frustration that James was sitting with, people just sitting there and saying, oh, we'll, by faith, we will, you know, actually, I just remember we had a pastor here some many years back, and when he decided to go into the ministry, he said to his dad, I'm going into the ministry. You know? And his father said, now, but how are you going to get money and food and that? And he said, the Lord will provide. And the father said to him, look, just remember that I'm not the Lord. You know? So, you know, there are things God, you know, the advice that I would give, like, to young people that maybe just say, oh, I haven't studied this year, now I must just go by faith, you know, is the only advice that I have, you know, if you go to the next slide there, is like, let us help you study for your exams, you know. That's maybe the only advice we can give you. We can't say, look, we'll just pray for you, and you haven't studied, we'll pray for you, and everything will be all right. You know, there are certain consequences to things that we do, and but that, I just want to, you know, that was actually my, when I started with this whole topic, I just saw that, you know, that we can't sit there and just say, ah, just by faith, I will quit my job and I will just sit and do nothing, and by faith I will go on, you know. That is also not what, God has prepared good works for us. Okay, He saved us by His grace. We've been saved through faith, but He's actually prepared good works for us that we should do. So let us not sit and not do them. In closing, I want to say a few things here. Say, without faith, it's almost like the way I started, without faith, you cannot receive salvation. Without faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you cannot receive salvation. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And without faith, you cannot live a victorious, abundant life. Without faith, you will not know who you are in Christ. So, you actually have to practice it, you know. You have to practice daily your faith. You know, faith to actually, you have to grow from one degree of faith to the other, to the next. Study the Word of God. Have a passion to get to know Him better. Have a passion to spend time with Him. And show your faith by your good works. I would encourage, you know, everyone to, you know, I might have think, okay, what has he now actually said, you know? But I want to encourage you that as you dig into God's word and as you look at these at faith and you say, I have faith. And show me your faith. You know, that is what James is saying. You know, and if you want to please God, you need to come to Him and believe that He exists and that He is a rewarder of those who earnestly seek Him. You know, all of those scriptures, go into them and just ponder over them. See, do I really understand this? Do I really understand faith is the substance of things hoped for? The evidence of things not seen. Let us pray. Lord, when we open your word and we just look at it, Lord, we know that there are so many treasures in it, Lord. There are so many when you say that blessed is the man who meditates on it day and night. Lord, when you say that he's like a tree planted next to the river and which bears its fruit, Lord, we know that is what it is, Lord. But when you dig into your word, Father, we pray that, Lord, that you will just enlighten us. Open our eyes, Lord. Take the scales of our eyes, Lord, that we can see. Look around us, Lord. See your presence. Lord, see the things that you have created. Lord, walk with you that we can please you, Lord. That it is possible for us to please you with our faith, Lord. But Lord, we want to walk. We want to walk with you, Lord. In our school, in our work, Lord. Wherever we are, in our home, Lord. We want to praise you. We want to experience you. We want to feel your touch, Lord. Thank you that you are everywhere, Lord. And even here this morning, Lord, we thank you for your word. Pray that you will, Lord, part us with your blessing. In Jesus' name. Amen.